This is a recording of Graham Griffiths made on the 31st of August 2007 and is a continuation of an earlier tape.
Okay. All right. Okay. To try and continue on with regards to the post office and the way it's moved forward since the last recording. The post office, as I mentioned, we'd subdivided the premises into where we'd sold elements of the land on for flats. We'd developed to the rear of the counter building another one, which was the sorting office plus living accommodation. And then we still had the building on the front of the green, which housed the counter element of the post office. We had attempted to sell this for 2 years. I think I may have already mentioned this. Unsuccessful. We then were advised by the planning authority, local planning authority, that we would need to try and market the premises as an empty business premise for another 12 months, but minimum 6 months, before reapplying for change of use. We attempted that. We had no success in selling that. We had a few people come along, look at it, and were looking at various types of business, but in the end, no one came forward with any sort of offer. Eventually, we decided that we were put in for the change of use planning application, which normally takes a few months through the local authority, which we did, waited around for quite some time till it was about January of 2007, when we believed that we were going to be coming before the local planning authority. It was then decided to put it back to February, then put back to March. Eventually we came to April, when eventually we did get the planning approval, and shortly after that, or around about that time, we actually had someone else come along and look at the premises with regard to taking it on as a business again, which was a bolt out of the blue, but there was no really firm situation at that time. Someone had indicated they may be interested in medical items, was the terms, and when they did come along, they mentioned that it would be a fairly quick transaction, which ultimately didn't take place. It hung around for quite some time. Next I seemed to hear of it was the local doctor ringing me up asking me if I'd known anything about a pharmacy application, which I didn't have any note of a pharmacy application going in until he told me. At that stage, that created a bit of a problem with the local surgery. They contacted me, the doctors contacted me, and explained how it would affect their surgery. And I was put in a difficult situation where I had agreed to someone possibly purchasing the premises, albeit they had not gone forward with the sale very quickly or in any way. We weren't sure how we stood with that. And the doctors were interested in purchasing the premises. And in the end, because of various, I don't know, obligations, not obligations, I felt a certain moral obligation after the doctors had spent years looking after my wife through periods of difficult illness times. And so I felt a certain obligation to the doctors to protect their interests. So in the end, we decided to sell a property to the doctors, which eventually we did do, and they have now decided to either go forward with a planning application for a pharmacy themselves, or They've also put in a counter application to divide the property into two flats. So that's the state of play with what was the old post office, which obviously was vacated when I retired in April of 2006. Okay. Oh, we're running again. I can't remember from the previous recording whether I had mentioned my association with the Royal Household. I was postmaster at the premises at Rowlands Castle. We had improved all the conditions of the properties that we had there, and we'd set about the open plan office. We had visitors from all over to come and see that, and during this period I had an opportunity. We always received every week a publication from the post office called the Gazette, and within the Gazette were all sorts of rules and regulation changes that we had to adhere to. But also contained within there were jobs and new positions within the post office. And just out of interest, and I guess to a certain extent nosy, seeing what was going on within the post office, used to read those. And one of the occasions, there was an advertisement, small advertisement, which read, applications required for the position of court postmaster based at Buckingham Palace. And I read the job specification and I thought, that looks very interesting. And spoke to my wife about it, showed her the advert and said, I think I could do that. My knowledge of the post office, all that they're asking, I think I fulfill. How do you feel about me applying for the post? So she said, if you wish to do that, have a go. So I did. I got on the telephone to the main post office in London, Nine Elms was the base, and they were taking the applications, and it was at the same time as when equal opportunities had shortly come in. And I rang up and spoke to the gentleman who was dealing with the applications and said, look, I'm not a Royal Mail employee, I'm a sub-postmaster. Am I allowed under the Equal Opportunities Act to apply for this post? And he didn't have an immediate answer. He had to go away, and he came back shortly and said, yes, we can't see any reason why you can't apply. We'll send you out an application. I duly received that. Completed it and sent in my CV and awaited to hear. And eventually I received notification that I'd been shortlisted and had to attend an interview at Nine Elms sorting office in inner London for this particular interview, and to go and sit before a panel of about five people, including the then serving court postmaster. Went up, had an interview of about an hour and a half, which they said thank you very much, and thanked me for the interview, said I'd done, to their knowledge, reasonably well, and I would be hearing from them. And about 3 weeks afterwards I had a letter to tell me that I hadn't got the court postmaster's post, and the reason I hadn't got that was because there was already a serving deputy court postmaster, and he'd been in post for about 6 or 7 years anyway, so he'd actually stepped up the ladder, he already had the in-house knowledge. But I was offered the deputy court postmaster's position. There were three positions on offer at the time. It was the court postmaster, deputy court postmaster, and assistant court postmaster. I was offered the deputy, which meant that I would be filling in as and when necessary, and may have to attend various duties away from London when the Queen travelled to other palaces. And it would mean that I would also require new training for elements that we had not been involved with before. You have to imagine that the Cork Post Office stepped back in time effectively when it was almost like the old GPO, whereby you had all sorts of duties under one heading. And so we were involved with communications of all descriptions effectively. And so I was awarded the post and duly had to attend Buckingham Palace. In the first 12 months of my term, I spent about 10 months at the palace and going to various places for further training. And I can always remember the first day that I attended Buckingham Palace, you always go to what they call a side gate. And my first morning caught the train up, went across the city by bus, etc., and walked up to the side gate. And the first person to meet me was a policeman who I got to know very well through travelling later on. And he was absolutely huge. And you can imagine he stood something like about 6'7" tall, and then a helmet on top of that. He looked like a man mountain when you first wore it. So that was off-putting but reassuring at the same time. That was the first attendance. Then it was into the palace and guided round, because it's once you're in there, it's not the easiest place to find your way around till you get to know it. And thereafter, I spent in total 10 years serving on behalf of the Royal Mail directly to the Royal Household and Her Majesty and the Royal Family. The duties took us away from home every so often, because when you were on duty as part of the court, whenever Her Majesty the Queen travels within the UK, the court nearly always travels with her to provide the services that Her Majesty and the household require. So whilst the Queen would have gone to Balmoral Castle, then my duties would take me to Balmoral Castle, and I would stay within the castle during the period of my duties. I also attended Holyrood House, I also attended Windsor Castle. I didn't do Sandringham because the accommodation there is limited for staff purposes, and so I have attended most palaces. We also obviously had access to Kensington Palace, St James's Palace from Buckingham Palace itself. That's where we would spend most of our time through those various places. And today, the day of this recording, the 31st of August, is the 10th anniversary since the death of Princess Diana, Princess of Wales. And I was actually at home on a Sunday morning around about 7:30 in the morning. I turned the TV on when the news was given out that of her unfortunate death in Paris, and I immediately got on the telephone to ring what was my boss, the court postmaster, who was up in Balmoral Castle, and ask him, you know, what I should do. I then had to attend Buckingham Palace for the period that, of that week running up to the funeral, and it was heavily involved with all the arrangements that were taking place. And at the same time, not at the same time as that, but subsequently to that, I was actually on duty Also, when the great fire took place at Windsor Castle, I was in charge of elements of the communications on that day as well. So it's been quite an experience during those periods. A great honour. I believe that I'm the only corps postmaster who's actually been a sub-postmaster. I'm almost sure that I'm the only one as a sub-postmaster. The post was always previously held and filled by Royal Mail employees, so I don't believe it ever came out of the London area. I was the first one to break that mould, and I believe since then that there will not be another one again. So I'm quite proud to have served in that position, and I have a lot of memories, and very pleasant memories, attending balls at the palace, balls at Windsor Castle, and going to the Royal Enclosure at Ascot. I also was at a dance at Balmoral, where they did the recording, one of the first recordings of the Queen taking place in doing Scottish dancing, and I had to learn Scottish dancing whilst up at Balmoral. And believe it or not, our partners were squaddies from the local army barracks, and so that was different, to say the least. We had to attend in one of the halls there for training, or as I say, tuition, and the squaddies used to be the female partners to us chaps who were learning all about the Scottish dancing. And it's been, as I say, a wonderful experience which I won't ever forget. Certain mementos I have of that, but those will be passed on within the family. A brief description of the family is my immediate family is obviously myself, my wife, Diane. She's known locally as Diane. This is will confuse a lot of people. Her actual name is Claire, but she's better known as Diane because her maiden name was Claire Cook, and it was always felt that Claire and Cook could be a little bit difficult for some to say, and it didn't ring quite right, so she was always known as Diane. We've now lived in the village for coming up to 30 years. October 78 we came, and we are absolutely bitten by Roland's Castle. It is a place that we weren't sure whether we would stay when we first came, but ever since, the roots have gone down so deep now. Since retiring, I found it very difficult to look outside of the village for somewhere to live, and eventually we managed to find a property, a bungalow in Glendale within the village boundaries, and we are now living there and intend to stay as long as we possibly can, and are very happy there. The remainder of my family, I've got two men. The eldest one, Simon, he went to St. John's School here, then he moved on to Church's College. From Church's College he went to Havant Sixth Form. He then went on to Cardiff University studying banking and finance, eventually came out with a first class honours degree in accountancy, and joined an accountancy company, Ernst & Young. From there he went to a company called 3i. He then went to another venture capital company, and his latest move has taken him into mobile phones, where he's a financial director for a mobile phone company in Cardiff, which is, as I say, where he started off his university education. and he's never left there. He's married a lady from the Rhondda Valley, Rhiann, lovely girl. And they presented us with our first grandchild last year, and he is Evan. So proud. We've got a second son, which is Neil. He attended again St John's. He then went on to Horndean, went on to Hatton Sixth Form College before joining the Hampshire Police Force, Hampshire Constabulary. He's moved through various departments of the police force, has bravery commendation and various other commendations, and he's now serving in a specialist department. And we're very proud of both of our lads. He lives in Cowplain, very local to us, and we get a regular visit from him, maybe twice a week, phone calls galore. They all keep in touch. And that's the wonderful thing about today, being able to see my grandson over this new thing that I've found now, Skype, on the computer system. So we're able to see our grandson, as I say, on a regular basis, although we don't have to travel the 150 odd miles to visit him.